I don't like it. I don't like it one damned bit.
It didn't surprise Matt that Frankie felt that way. But her reaction to his plan wasn't going to change his mind either.
Look, this is just a scouting expedition. I just want to get the lay of the land on the Kane place tonight. If there's any action, it'll be later on, and maybe you can get in on it.
Thurman Harlow had followed the two of them into the barn after supper.
I ain't so sure that's a good idea, Frankie. You run too many risks already. You ought to let me and the boys and Mr. Bodine take care of Simmer and Kane, those pesky kinfolks of his.
You may need an extra rifle, and you know I'm a good shot, Pa.
Yeah, there ain't no denying that. You say you're just gonna have a look around tonight?
That's right. If we're gonna hit Kane, we need to plan it out first and figure out the best way to go about it. Since his bunch outnumbers us, we'll have to grab hold of every advantage we can.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It makes even more sense for you to take me with you. What if you can't find Kane's spread? I can take you right to it.
You gave me good directions.
If I'd known you were going to leave me behind, I might not have told you as much.
Well, don't wait up for me. I don't know when I'll be back. If I run into any trouble, it may take me longer.
If you run into any trouble, you could wind up dead.
I don't intend to let that happen.
You damned well better not.
With that, Frankie stepped closer to Matt, reached up, and put her hand on the back of his neck, and pulled his head down a little so that she could press her mouth to his.
Don't mind me or nothing. I'm just the girl's pa is all.
I'm sorry you had to see that, Pa, but I was damned if I was going to let Bodine ride away without giving him a proper goodbye.
I'll just shake and wish you luck, if that's all right with you.
Well, I'm obliged for it. Before this night's over, I'm liable to need all the luck I can get.
Matt gripped the saddle horn and swung up onto the stallion's back. As he turned the horse to ride out of the barn, he lifted a hand in farewell to Frankie and her father. They returned the wave. Matt glanced back as he left the barn and saw the two figures standing there in the lantern light. Harlow put an arm around his daughter's shoulders and squeezed. Matt wasn't sure if the man was trying to comfort her or holding on to her to keep her from jumping onto a horse and following him. Following the attack that morning, the rest of the day had passed quietly. Matt had spent most of it riding a wide circle around the Harlow farm, borrowing one of their horses to do so because he wanted to keep his stallion fresh. It was already in the back of his mind to go on the offensive against Simmer and Kane, and he knew that to do so, he would have to have more information about the enemy's stronghold. After getting directions to the Kane ranch at supper, he had announced his intention of taking a ride up there. A thin sliver of moon hung in the eastern sky. Down in Texas, they would call that a Comanche moon, because it didn't give off much light, and the thicker darkness would conceal the movements of Comanche raiders as they slipped up on some unsuspecting homestead. The darkness tonight in Kansas would serve to conceal him as he approached the Kane Ranch. He didn't know if he could move as quietly as the Comanche, but when it came to stealth, he'd had a mighty good half-Cheyenne teacher in Sam Two Wolves. Matt came to the main trail, which was a thin silver ribbon in the faint light from the moon and stars. He crossed it and continued north. The Kane spread was another 2 or 3 miles in that direction. The boundless prairie didn't offer many landmarks, especially ones that could be made out easily on a dark night such as this one. Because of that, Matt had to proceed carefully. He didn't want to ride up to the house without seeing it until he was practically on top of it. If he did that, the Canes would hear his horse coming and be ready for him. He had a feeling that a proddy bunch like that might shoot first and ask questions later if they had an unknown visitor after dark. He came to a dry wash. Frankie had said that the Kane place was half a mile north of that wash. Matt reined in and dismounted. He found the place Frankie had told him about, where the banks of the wash had caved in enough for him to lead his horse into and back out of it. He didn't mount up again, but instead went forward on foot, knowing that the hoofbeats of a horse and rider would carry a long way out here on the plains. A few minutes later, he spotted the yellow glow of a lighted window several hundred yards ahead of him. He stopped and looked around until he found a scrubby bush sturdy enough for him to tie his horse's reins to it. Then he started toward the light, moving at a careful walk. Matt was still about 100 yards away from the house, too far to make out any real details about it, when dark shapes began cutting between him and the light. Men were moving around up there for some reason. He stopped in his tracks and waited to see what was going to happen. After a few moments, he heard hoofbeats as well. It sounded like a large number of horses milled around for a minute or so, and then took off toward the southeast, the pounding of their hooves rolling across the prairie like the sound of distant drums. Matt stood there for a second or two, thinking furiously. Cottonwood was southeast of here, and other than the settlement, Matt couldn't think of anywhere else those riders would be going. Matt turned and ran back to where he had left his own horse. Jerking the reins free, he bounded into the saddle and headed the stallion southeast at a run. The riders he had heard had been moving fast, and Matt didn't want them to get too far ahead of him. Of course, he also had to be careful about getting too close to them. He slowed his mount from time to time and listened intently until he picked up the sound of hoofbeats, telling him that he was on the right trail. The stars told him they were still headed southeast. After half an hour or so, Matt spotted more lights up ahead and knew that they came from Cottonwood. He had no doubt now that the town was their destination. He could think of only one reason for Cimarron Kane to be paying a visit to the settlement with a number of his hard-case relatives backing him up. Kane was going to set free the prisoners in Marshal Coleman's jail. He had to be planning on busting them out, otherwise he wouldn't have waited until after dark like this. Matt didn't know exactly how many men Kane had with him, but it was certain they would outnumber Coleman and possibly Sam. The Marshal wouldn't stand a chance against a bunch of gun-hung hombres like that if it came down to a fight. Maybe Coleman and Sam could ford up inside the jail and try to hold them off, but eventually Kane and the others would bust in and overwhelm them. Sam and Coleman were going to have an unexpected ally, though, Matt thought, as a grim smile tugged at his mouth. And it was going to be an even bigger surprise for Cimarron Kane when Matt Bodine took a hand in this fight. The lights of the settlement drew steadily closer. Matt held the stallion to a walk now, once again listening intently for any sounds in the night. Matt didn't hear the horses moving ahead of him anymore. That meant Kane's bunch had stopped. Matt reined to a halt as well. The sound of horses brought a frown to Matt's face as he thought about what it might mean. The shot made him stiffen in the saddle. That couldn't be Kane's men. They hadn't had time to reach the creek, and anyway, they were after the prisoners in Marshal Coleman's jail. This gunfire had to signify some other trouble. But Cimarron Kane was fast to take advantage of it. A distraction was a distraction, whether he had staged it or not. Matt jabbed his heels into the stallion's flanks and sent the horse galloping after them. As he rode hard, he leaned forward in the saddle and drew his right-hand Colt. At the sounds of the shots from town, Ambrose Porter snatched his pistol from its holster and spun in that direction.
Jenkins, I have to stay here and guard these wagons. And whatever you do, don't you let anyone come near them. The rest of you, come with me.
As he issued the orders, he grabbed the padlock from where it hung in the open hasp, slapped the hasp closed, and clicked the padlock shut. Then he took off at a run toward Cottonwood's main street with the deputies trailing behind him, except for the two men he'd left with the wagons. There was still a lot of gunfire going on. As Sam stepped out from behind the wagon, he saw orange muzzle flashes winking in the night around the settlement's buildings. The two men Porter had left behind were watching the town too, their attention drawn by the shooting. That was their mistake. Moving with the speed and silence of a striking panther, Sam smashed the brass butt plate of the rifle he carried onto the back of one deputy's head. The other deputy had time to make a grab for the gun on his hip. Sam swung the rifle one-handed and used the barrel as a club this time. Sam started toward Cottonwood.
Come back and let us out!
Just stay there. I'll come back and see about turning you loose.
The Porter and Bickford are murdering crooks! You know that now.
You're safer in there. I'll be back.
Don't get yourself killed.
Sam held the rifle at a slant across his chest as he ran toward the settlement. He couldn't see Porter and the other deputies anymore, but as the flurry of gunfire from the town increased suddenly, he wondered if the crooked lawman had just joined the fight, whatever it was. He reached the old abandoned livery stable where Ike Loomis's secret saloon was located. The big building was dark and appeared to be as deserted as it was supposed to be. Sam knew that probably wasn't the case, though. If the patrons had any sense, they would have stayed inside when the shooting started. The barn's thick walls would stop most bullets.
Hold it!
Sam didn't stop. In fact, he didn't even slow down. Instead, he dove forward, cutting the man's legs out from under him. Sam came up onto his knees first. Holding the rifle in his left hand, he used his right to draw his Colt since the revolver was better for close work.
You hold it, mister. If you make a move, I'll put a bullet in you.
Sam Two Wolves? Is that you?
Who's that?
Mike Loomis. Red Mark. Oh, sorry I jumped you, Two Wolves. I thought you were one of those damn raiders.
What raiders?
Hell if I know. Somebody came running down to the saloon and said a bunch of men were attacking the jail. I told everybody in there to stay put and came out to see what was going on. My pa and Marshal Coleman are old friends, so I didn't want nothing happening to them. Then you came running along, and I took you for one of that bunch. That's all I know.
Come on. Let's go see what we can find out.
I dropped my gun. Wait a minute. Here it is.
Mike picked up his gun. Then he and Sam trotted through the shadows toward the other end of Main Street. Sam could tell now that most of the muzzle flashes he saw came from the area around the marshal's office and jail. That told Sam the attack was directed against Marshal Coleman. Since the shooting had started before Porter and the other deputies hurried back to town, he concluded that the raiders had to be Simmer and Kane and some of Kane's kinfolk. Kane was the only one who had a reason to attack the jail, that reason being his three cousins who were locked up there. As Sam and Mike Loomis drew up at the corner of a building to watch the fight, Sam saw muzzle flame bloom like a crimson flower at one of the front windows flanking the door into the marshal's office. He felt a surge of relief go through him. The shot meant that Coleman was still alive, and although he might be wounded, he was in good enough shape to pull a trigger. But then, an instant after that shot, orange flame spurted from the other window. Sam's heart sank a little at that sight. Coleman hadn't had time to move from window to window. He wouldn't have had any reason to anyway. The second shot meant somebody else was in there helping Coleman defend the place, and the most likely person that could be was him.
We'll split up. I'll go across the street, and you take this side. We'll hit them from behind and at the same time and take them by surprise.
All right, but we're pretty outnumbered, Two Wolves. You know that, don't you?
And we'll try to whittle down the odds as quickly as we can. Give me a minute to get over there and get set.
Sure. I'll wait for you to hit those varmints, and then I'll go at the same time.
Sounds good.
He was still only halfway across when something slammed into his right foot and knocked it out from under him. Sam's right leg was numb, and he didn't know how badly he was hurt. But he couldn't move. He was stuck, out in the open. Kane's men knew he was there, an easy target. It seemed unlikely that things could get any worse. That was when he heard thundering hoofbeats right behind him and jerked his head around to gaze over his shoulder at the gigantic, looming figure of a madly galloping horse about to pound him into a red ruin under its hooves. When Matt reached the western end of Cottonwood's main street, he saw that the fighting was concentrated around the far end of town. That was where the marshal's office was located, and he was more convinced than ever that Kane and his relatives had come to bust Dud, Nels, and Wiley Kane out of jail. From the muzzle flashes he saw, it looked like Kane's bunch had split up and hunted cover on both sides of the street as they laid siege to the jail. Matt drew his left-hand gun as he clamped his knees tighter on the stallion's flanks.
Yeah!
Suddenly, Matt saw someone dart out from his right and try to cross the street in front of him. At first, he thought the man must be one of Kane's bunch, changing position for some reason. But then he saw more muzzle flashes as Kane's men opened fire on the running figure. The man made it almost to the middle of the street before he tumbled forward off his feet, evidently hit. Matt couldn't slow the charging stallion in time, and he wasn't sure he could even veer the animal around the fallen man. So he jammed his left-hand Colt back in its holster, grabbed the reins, and hauled up on them, lifting the horse into a jump.
Oh, shit!
Then the stallion soared up and over Sam and landed, running full tilt. And Matt dropped the reins again and jerked out his left-hand Colt. He was between the forces arrayed along both sides of the street. Matt never slowed his gun. As the hammers of his revolvers fell on empty chambers, he used his knees to guide the stallion into a sharp turn that carried them into the mouth of an alley near the marshal's office. The horse pounded along the passageway through thick, almost impenetrable shadows, and Matt hoped they wouldn't run into anything. A moment later, they broke out into the faint light from the moon and stars behind the buildings. Matt holstered one revolver, wheeled the horse around, and reined to a halt. He started reloading his guns with swift, practiced ease. Sam was trying to make his numb right leg work so he could struggle onto his feet when he heard someone running toward him. He propped himself up on one hand and twisted in that direction, ready to fire the Colt in his other hand, but his finger eased off the trigger when he saw Red Mike Loomis approaching.
I'll help you. How bad are you hit?
Don't know. Head for the other side of the street.
With Mike's strong grip supporting his right side, Sam set off at a hobbling run. They headed toward a rain barrel that was big enough to shield one of them, but not both.
You can stay here. I'll find some other cover.
Be careful.
Sam toppled the rain barrel, creating a miniature tidal wave that washed around his feet and Mike Loomis's sprawled body.
Shit! Red! You aren't dead?
The overturned barrel was between him and the gunman, so he had a little protection now. Sam was back in the open. He hopped toward the boardwalk and let himself fall when he reached it. He had dropped his rifle in the street, but he still had his Colt. Sam ignored the throbbing pain that now filled his leg as he pulled himself to the front of the alcove again. Watching as Matt drove once more between the two halves of Kane's forces, Sam felt a little awe at the way his blood brother took the fight to them so fiercely, so gallantly.
Matt! Over here!
Matt left the saddle in a flying leap as his stallion raced past the building. The jump carried him onto the boardwalk.
Figured you'd be right in the middle of this ruckus, Sam.
Yes, but I didn't expect you to come galloping in and jump your horse right over me like you were performing a trick in a Wild West show.
Well, it was either that or Trampia, so I figured you wouldn't mind if I shoved off a little. You know what's going on here, don't you?
My guess is that Cimarron Kane and some of his kin are trying to help those prisoners in Marshal Coleman's jail escape.
That's it, all right. I followed a whole bunch into town from the Kane Ranch.
Kane was here earlier in the day. He thought he could come into town and bluster him. And the Marshal would release his cousins. Marshal Coleman's not going to do it.
I didn't know that.
Here's something else you didn't know. Those special marshals, Porter and Bickford, are up in town too, along with their deputies. They're all crooked.
What do you mean?
Sam quickly filled him in on the bribery and murder scheme being carried out by the special marshals, and the news brought a muttered curse from Matt.
Where are those varmints now?
I don't know. Porter and most of the deputies are here in town somewhere as far as I know. Beckford was still down by the creek with the wagons the last time I saw him. He could have regained consciousness.
Well, we'll deal with them once we've handed Kane his needs. Where's the marshal? Hold up inside the jail?
Must be. Someone is in there trying to hold off Kane's bunch. The Canna may be in there with them too. They had two rifles going.
Sorry, amigo. I know you set a lot of store by that gal. We need to do something to convince Kane to give it up. How's that leg of yours?
Enough feeling had returned to Sam's leg so that he could move it now. He reached down and ran his hand over the leg, searching for a wound. When he didn't find any, he pulled his foot up and felt his boot.
Well, that's what happened. One of them shot my boot heel off. The impact of the bullet made my leg go numb for a little while, but it's getting to be awful.
And you're not wounded?
You don't seem to be.
Well, that's a stroke of good luck. Reckon you can get around?
Think so, as long as I don't have to move too fast.
All right, you can cover me while I make a run for the other side of the street.
You'll never make it.
I will if you make those polecats duck.
Matt pressed one of his guns into Sam's left hand.
Here, just keep busy. Once I get over there, we'll have him right where we want him.
My rifle's laying out there in the middle of the street where I dropped it.
I'll pick it up when I go by. That'll give me better firepower. You ready?
Sam made to his feet and jerked his head in a curt nod.
Then cut loose, you wolf!
Matt burst out of the alcove, leaped across the boardwalk onto the street, and headed for the buildings on the opposite side at a dead run. As he ran toward the middle of the street, he spotted the rifle Sam had dropped and angled toward the Winchester. Now he was moving at top speed again. As he neared the boardwalk, he launched himself into a dive that carried him onto the planks. He scrambled to his feet and into an alcove like the one Sam occupied across the street. Using the building for cover, he thrust the rifle's barrel around the corner. Someone else joined the battle too. Matt had seen an apparently unconscious or dead figure lying behind an overturned rain barrel near Sam's position, but had no idea who the man was. Clearly, though, he wasn't dead, and if he had been knocked out, he had regained consciousness. He was taking part in the fight now, firing a six-shooter over the barrel. The gunfire from the jail picked up with renewed intensity. Rifles cracked and spat lead at both of the front windows. Cimarron Kane and his men had gone from having the upper hand to being trapped in the middle of a veritable hailstorm of bullets. Even though they might still have the advantage in numbers, they were in a bad spot.
Grab the horses! Let's get out of here!
A moment later, a number of riders burst into the street. They didn't try to run the gauntlet between Matt and Sam, but instead plunged into an alley, seeking the quickest way out of town. Matt threw lead after them and thought he saw one of the men sway in the saddle, but none of the riders fell, and they didn't slow down. Matt leaped out of the alcove and ran toward the alley mouth.
Matt, are you all right?
Yeah, they came close a few times but never hit me. How's your leg?
A little sore, but better now. Can you go back up the street and check on Mike Loomis?
Red Mike?
Yeah, he's the one behind the rain barrel. He was trying to help me earlier when he got hit.
Sure, I'll see how he's doing. Where are you going?
The marshal's office.
As Sam hurried off, Matt turned and walked back to the rain barrel. The man behind the barrel was slumped wearily against it now.
Red Mike!
Bodine? Is that you?
Yeah!
Matt hunkered on his heels next to the wounded man and braced the rifle's butt plate against the ground to balance himself.
How bad you hit?
Oh, not too bad, I reckon. Feels like the slug just ripped across my side. Reckon I lost quite a bit of blood, though. Feel mighty weak. Head's sort of swimming around.
Matt leaned over where he could take a look at Mike's side and saw the large dark stain on the young man's shirt.
Oh, you've lost some blood, all right. Stay right there and we'll see about getting the doctor to take a look at you.
I ain't going anywhere.
Farther down the street, the door of the marshal's office swung open before Sam could get there. Marshal Coleman stepped out onto the walk in front of it, holding a Winchester tightly in his hands.
Sam, is that you?
It's me, Marshal.
Are those varmints gone?
Yes. They rode out, hell-bent for leather a few minutes ago. And there's no sign of them coming back.
Thank God. I thought at first we were goners, Hannah and me.
And Hannah is in the office.
Yeah.
Is she hurt?
Nope. Come on out, honey. The shooting's over.
Sam hoped that was true, but he hadn't forgotten about Ambrose Porter and the special deputies. He stepped quickly to Coleman's side and put a hand on the lawman's arm.
You'd better get back inside, Marshal. And keep Hannah there for the time being, too.
What's wrong? You think Kane's gonna come back?
No, but there might be another problem.
Movement in the doorway of the marshal's office caught Sam's eye. He looked in that direction and saw Hannah stepping out with a rifle in her hands. He was about to call out to her and tell her to go back inside when a shadowy shape glided up behind her. The Winchester dropped to the planks as it was torn from her hands, and Sam stiffened as he saw an arm go around her neck and jerk her back against the man who had come up behind her.
Drop your guns, two wolves!
Ambrose Porter tightened his left arm around Hannah's throat and thrust the gun in his right hand towards Sam and Coleman.
What the hell?
Sam had tucked the extra revolver Matt had given him behind his belt and still held his own Colt. He didn't drop either gun.
Forget it, Porter. Your little scheme is done for.
I don't think so. Look around you, you damn breed.
I don't see anything.
I don't mean my men aren't there. Now, 8 rifles trained on you right now, two wolves. You don't have any choice but to do as I say.
Blasted, what's going on here? Marshal Porter, is that you?
It's him, all right. But he's a lawman in name only, Marshal. He and Bickford and their deputies are all criminals.
That's a matter of interpretation.
The hell it is! Bickford told me all about how you've been taking payoff to let some of the men you've arrested go free, and murdering those who wouldn't come through. One of the prisoners in the wagon told me about it. And then Bickford confirmed it when he thought he had the drop on me.
Why, you low-down skunk! Dishonoring the badge that way! Let go of my daughter right now!
Oh, I can't do that, I'm sorry. You and Miss Hannah and two wolves have to go in one of the cells. And we'll lock you up, and then we'll be on our way. I was tired of this game anyway. I won't tell you again now. Drop your guns or I'll kill the girl right goddamn now.
If you hurt her!
Don't waste my time with threats, old man. I told you you're covered. If I shoot the girl, a second later my man will fill you and the half-breed full of lead. Your only chance to survive is to do what I tell you.
He's lying. He intends to kill us anyway.
I know that.
Coleman bent over and dropped his pistol into the dirt of the street.
That's my little girl he's got. I have to go along with him.
Sam knew that the marshal was right. Porter would kill them and maybe even try to wipe out the whole town if he was pushed too far. With his mouth twisted in a grim line, Sam dropped his Colt next to Coleman's. Then he reached for the gun tucked behind his belt.
Careful!
Sam eased the revolver out and added it to the two lying in the street. Then he and Coleman backed away from the guns.
Come on, into the jail.
What do we do?
Play along with him.
Matt had been turning away from the rain barrel and Red Mike Loomis when he saw something suspicious going on down at the marshal's office. Instantly, he dropped into a crouch behind the barrel next to Mike so that he couldn't be seen as easily.
Huh? What the hell?
Shh! Let me listen.
His keen ears picked up enough of the tense, low-voiced exchange for him to understand what was going on. He knew that his blood brother would go along with Porter's orders, at least for the moment. As long as Hannah's life was in danger, Sam didn't really have any choice. But of course, they couldn't trust Porter either. The crooked lawman's continued survival depended on not leaving any living witnesses to testify against him.
You're gonna have to wait here for a while. Hell's about to pop again, and I can't fetch a doc right now.
I don't know what's going on, but you go take care of whatever you gotta do.
Hang on, Mike. I'll see to it that bullet wound's tended to as soon as I can.
With that, Matt dropped to his belly and crawled over into the shadows at the edge of the boardwalk. He didn't know where the rest of the crooked deputies were and didn't know if any of them had spotted him. A cold prickle swept over his skin as he started making his way toward the marshal's office. For all he knew, bullets were about to smash into him at any second. No hot lead came his way, though. When he reached the corner, he wriggled around it and risked coming to his feet long enough to dart into an even deeper patch of shadows.
Yeah.
There was a back door to the marshal's office, but he was sure it would be closed and barred. He couldn't get in that way, and it would be suicide to try to come in through the front door. What he needed to do was draw Porter back out somehow and hope that the corrupt lawman wouldn't kill the prisoners before he could do that. But first, Matt thought, he had to even the odds a little. In order to accomplish that, he had to find Porter's deputies. Porter had probably told them to spread out during the battle against Simmer and Kane so that he could make their move after Kane fled. Matt would need all the stealth he had learned from Sam Two Wolves and Sam's father, Old Medicine Horse, if he was going to find them. Staying in the shadows, Matt melted into the night. Porter didn't let go of Hannah until they were all inside the marshal's office.
Close that door.
Hannah ran into her father's arms.
Oh!
Are you all right?
Yes. Dad, I'm fine.
Coleman glared over his daughter's shoulder at Porter.
So, is what Sam tells me about you true, Marshal? Or should I even call you that?
I still hold a special commission from the governor. I don't see why I won't continue to do so.
Then it is true.
Oh, yes, all right, it's true. Marshal Bickford and I have been supplementing our salaries, I suppose you could say. But it's only right, considering we'd have had to risk our lives trying to apprehend all the moonshiners around here.
Lawmen get paid to risk their lives. I don't reckon a polecat like you would understand that, though.
You can keep talking if you want, Marshal. It's really all you can do.
You're not really gonna lock us up and then leave, are you?
Porter jerked the gun again, this time toward the cell block door.
Get in there, all three of you.
Sam exchanged a glance with Coleman. He knew that if one of the cell doors ever swung closed behind them, they were doomed. Porter would gun them down without mercy. He could tell from the look in Coleman's eyes that the marshal understood that too. If it came down to it, he would risk jumping Porter, even though he would probably get shot in the process. But if he could get the gun away from Porter, Coleman might be able to handle him.
You're making a mistake, Porter.
By eliminating some of the witnesses against me? Shit, I don't think so.
That's because you've forgotten about Matt Bodine.
Bodine? What's he got to do with this?
Didn't you see him out there fighting Kane's men? He's still on the loose.
Yeah, well, of course I saw him, the grandstanding young fool. I told some of my men to hunt him down and kill him before I ever grabbed the girl. He's probably already dead by now.
I haven't heard any shots from outside, have you? You may wind up needing some leverage to get out of here. You won't have any if we're dead.
That's where you're wrong. All I need is you, Two Wolves, not these other two.
Sam took a quick step so that he shielded Coleman and Hannah from Porter's gun.
You can't get to them without coming through me.
It didn't take Matt long to find the first of Porter's deputies. The man was slinking along the street, obviously searching for something. Probably him, Matt thought wryly. He stepped out of the dark maw of an alley mouth as the man went past it, and the butt of his gun thudded against the deputy's head. Matt grabbed the man under the arms and dragged him into the thick shadows. It was a moment's work to bind the man's hands behind him with his own belt and cram his own bandana in his mouth as a gag. Then, confident that this deputy was out of the fight, Matt resumed the hunt. A minute later, he lay in the deep darkness underneath a parked wagon and listened as two sets of footsteps approached.
Is that hombre, Bodine?
I've heard he's mighty fast with a gun.
Yeah, but there's eight of us, and only one of him.
Reckon Porter's really gonna burn down the whole town like he said?
I wouldn't put it past him. That's one way of making sure there's nobody left to talk about what you've been doing.
That's a hell of a lot of killings.
One killing or 200. You can only swing for it once.
Yeah, but how the hell do you go about murdering a whole town?
Mighty, quite like. That's how you do it. With knives. One house at a time. That way folks don't panic. They won't even know they're about to die until it's too late.
The two men had stopped beside the wagon where Matt was hidden. He fought the urge to slither out from under the vehicle and shoot both of the bastards in the head. Gunfire would draw too much attention right now, though. He had to be patient, and just like that son of a bitch had said, mighty quiet-like.
Stay here. If you see Bodine, kill him.
Yeah, if he don't kill me first.
You knew there'd be risks when you agreed to go along with Bickford's plan. You were quick enough to take your share of the money, too.
Don't worry. If I see Bodine, I'll ventilate the bastard. Count on it.
Yeah.
Reaching out, Matt suddenly grabbed hold of the man's ankles from behind and jerked his legs out from under him. Matt was on him with the speed of a striking snake, driving a knee into the small of the man's back to keep him pinned to the ground, then hammering both clubbed fists into the back of his head. Matt took hold of his ankles again and dragged him under the wagon, then left him there. That was two of the varmints, but there were still six of them out there in the shadows, thirsty for his blood.
Hey! Over here! It's Bodine!
At the sound of the shots outside, Porter's eyes jerked instinctively toward the door, and Sam made his move. With blinding speed, Sam dived at Porter. Porter came crashing down on the floor. Sam lunged across the crooked lawman's body, reaching for Porter's gun hand. His fingers closed around Porter's wrist and shoved the gun aside as it blasted. At the same time, Sam hammered his fist into Porter's face. Before he could land another punch, he felt Marshal Coleman tugging at his arm.
Take it easy, son. He's out cold. And if you keep hitting him like that, you're gonna kill him.
That didn't sound like such a bad idea to Sam. When he thought about how Porter had hurt Hannah, a red haze tried to creep over his vision. He looked over and saw that the gun had slipped out of Porter's fingers, so he reached for it and picked it up. That had to be Matt doing battle with the deputies. Sam came to his feet.
Stay here. Look after Hannah.
Wait just a dang minute. Last time I looked, my badge said Marshal and yours says Deputy. We'll both give Bodine a hand.
Somebody needs to protect Hannah.
How about if Hannah protects herself?
Sam looked at Hannah and saw that she had climbed to her feet and taken down a shotgun from the rack behind the desk. She finished thumbing shells into the twin barrels.
You're liable to need this, Dad. I'll load another one for myself.
Coleman took the shotgun and nodded.
You'll stay inside?
Yes. Even though I'd rather come with you.
She always did have might of a mean streak.
Feisty, not mean.
Coleman nodded toward Porter's unconscious form.
Keep an eye on that snake. And if anybody besides us or Bodine or one of the townsfolk comes in here, blast the hell out of them.
Hannah nodded in understanding. Coleman started toward the door.
Come on, let's see if we can give that part of yours a hand.
Holy shit!
If Matt still had both of his Colts, he would have returned the fire in both directions. As it was, he had to pick and choose. He left his feet in a rolling dive that carried him back under the wagon. The man he had just knocked out and stashed there had a gun on his hip. Matt ran his free hand over the man's body until he found the walnut grips of the weapon jutting up from its holster. As he cleared the wagon, Matt sprang back to his feet with a gun in each hand, a situation that always made him feel better. He saw a man charging toward him and stumbled and pitched forward, and another man jerked around with a half turn as one of Matt's bullets tore through his body. Matt broke into a run toward the jail and kept firing as he ran. Then Matt spotted Sam and Marshal Coleman coming toward him, fighting their way down the street. Coleman loosed the second barrel of the scatter gun he carried.
You all right?
Yeah, I think so. How about you?
I'm still a little gimpy, but no worse off than I was before. Were you wounded, Marshal?
No, we took those varmints by surprise and hit them so hard they didn't have a chance to put up much of a fight.
We need to get a lantern out here and make sure they're all dead.
Good idea. I'll fetch one from the office.
Mike Loomis is wounded back up the street. He'll need a sawbones.
Doc Berger's house and office is on 2nd Street, right around the corner from the hotel. Reckon you can take Mike over there?
Sure.
I'll stay here to keep an eye on things while you fetch the lantern, Marshal.
By things, you mean them crooked deputies we shot?
That's right. And you'd better sing out before you go through the office door just to be sure Hannah knows it's you.
That's probably a good idea.
Coleman and Matt set off in different directions along the street. Sam slipped fresh cartridges into the gun he had taken from Ambrose Porter, which luckily was the same caliber as his Colt.
Hey, Mike, it's me, Matt Bodine.
When Matt saw the figure slumped on the ground, his first thought was that the burly youngster had bled to death. Quickly, Matt dropped to a knee next to him and searched for a pulse in Mike's neck. After a moment, he found one, weak but fairly steady, and felt relief go through him. Even though Red Mike was a big man, Matt got his arms around him and was able to lift him. Teeth clenched against the strain, he started carrying Mike toward the doctor's house. The doctor himself met them before they got there, hurrying toward the scene of battle with his black bag in his hand.
Who's that you got there?
Mike Loomis.
How bad is he hurt?
That's your department. He caught a bullet in the side and lost a lot of blood.
Take him down there and put him on the table in my examining room. I'll be right there. Is anyone else wounded?
Well, all those special deputies are shot up pretty bad.
The doctor started to hustle in that direction.
I'd better see to them.
No hurry, Doc. They're either dead or soon will be. And it's no great loss either way.
What are you talking about, young man? I don't particularly like that liquor law any more than anyone else, but those are lawmen.
Not hardly. They wore badges, but that doesn't make them real lawmen. They were all crooks, Doc. Just like Porter and Bickford. Murder and scum, each and every one of them.
What in blazes are you talking about?
Come on back to your place at Cedar Red, Mike, and I'll tell you all about it on the way.
Berger still looked upset and confused, but he allowed Matt to lead him back toward his house where he had a patient waiting for him. Back at the jail, Marshal Coleman emerged carrying a lantern that spilled its yellow glow in a circle around him. Sam joined him, and one by one they checked the bodies sprawled in the street. There were 6 of them, each one shot full of holes. 4 of the men were already dead. One died with a final rattle of breath in his throat as Sam and Coleman checked on him, and the 6th man was unconscious, but still breathing.
Doc might be able to save this one. Where are the others? I thought there were 10 of those deputies.
2 of them are with the prisoners' wagons down by the creek. I knocked them out and left them tied up there. I don't know about the other 2, but Matt might be able to tell us what happened to them. They're either around here somewhere, dead or knocked out. Or else they realized the jig was up and lit a shuck.
What a massacre. There's been more powder burned and more blood spilled in the past 2 days than Cottonwood usually sees in a month of Sundays.
I'm sorry Matt and I brought so much trouble to your town with us, Marshal.
Oh, hell, none of it was your fault, son. You just happened to be here.
Sam wasn't sure about that. Over the years, he had come to believe sometimes that he and Matt traveled under a cloud. It wasn't a storm cloud, though. It was a cloud of gun smoke. Sam and the marshal returned to the jail. They found Hannah sitting in a ladder-back chair across the room from Porter, holding the loaded shotgun on him. Porter had come to and was sitting up with his back propped against the wall. Blood from his broken, swollen nose was smeared across the lower half of his face. He lifted hate-filled eyes toward Sam and Coleman when they came in.
I told him this scattergun has a hair trigger. I believe for a minute he thought about trying to find out if I was telling the truth.
Better be glad you didn't, Porter. I know that gal of mine. She'd have splattered you all over this office if you'd tried anything.
Coleman trained his revolver on Porter.
On your feet. I'm going to take particular pleasure in locking you up.
Sam had picked up his gun and Matt's in the street outside. He placed Porter's Colt on the desk and covered the crooked marshal with the other 2 as Porter climbed to his feet. Sam and Coleman marched Porter into the cell block and put him in the one vacant cell. The 3 Kane brothers watched wide-eyed from the other cell.
From the sound of things, you've had your hands full tonight, Marshal. It'd sure make life easier for you if you just let the 3 of us go.
I'll tell you what I told that cousin of yours. It ain't up to me. When the circuit judge comes through, he'll decide what to do with you.
Cimarron ain't never gonna let it get that far.
He's already tried twice to get you boys out of jail. You're still here.
Your time's coming, old man. Your time's coming.
Sam and Coleman left the cell block. The marshal's shoulder suddenly slumped, and he looked even older than his years. He sank down in the chair behind the desk.
I'm getting too old to be fighting two wars in one night.
Sam holstered his gun and stuck Matt's Colt behind his belt until he got a chance to return the weapon to his blood brother.
Sorry, Marshal. If I hadn't had my hands full with Bickford and those other two deputies down by the creek, I would have been here to help you fight off the Kane Bunch.
You showed up before the ruckus was over.
And brought even more trouble raining down on you.
You did no such thing, Sam. Someone had to stop Porter and Bickford from doing those awful things. I'm glad you found out what terrible men they are.
Speaking of Bickford, I'd better get back down to those prison wagons to see if he's still there. He may have regained consciousness and taken off of the tall and uncut by now.
Good riddance. Once we spread the word about what him and Porter were doing, legitimate lawmen all over the state will be looking for him. He won't get away, and he'll pay for what he's done.
I hope you're right. If Matt comes by here, tell him where I've gone, would you?
Sure thing, son.
Sam, there's no way I can thank you for what you and Matt have done. You saved Dad and me tonight. Not just once, but twice.
I'm not sure Kane and his bunch would have ever gotten into the jail. It looked like the two of you were forded up pretty well.
But we were also badly outnumbered. There's no way we could have held them off for long, and you know it.
Sam shrugged.
That business with Porter? He's an evil man, Sam. I could feel the evil coming from him when he had a hold of me.
I agree with that. I'm glad he's locked up where he belongs. With any luck, he'll be behind bars until it's time for his date with the hangman. Sorry, maybe I shouldn't have said...
Don't worry about offending my delicate sensibilities, Sam. I'm a lawman's daughter, remember? I've seen hangings before, and from what I've heard tonight, Porter deserves a hang rope as much or more than anyone I've run across.
Your father was right. You are a little bloodthirsty.
Only in a good cause.
Hannah stepped closer to him.
Sam?
His arms went around her as she came up on her toes and lifted her mouth to his. She leaned against him as they kissed. He felt the tiny tremblings in her muscles and knew that some of it was in reaction to all the violence she had gone through tonight.
I have to go see about Bickford.
And I'd better get back inside and make sure Dad's all right. He's not as young as he once was, you know. We'll take this up again some other night, right?
Oh, I reckon you can count on that.
After cleaning and examining Red Mike Loomis's wound and checking the young man's condition, Dr. Berger emerged from his examining room.
I think young Loomis will recover. It appears that the bullet missed any vital organs and did only a limited amount of damage. The blood loss is the main problem. With rest and proper care, he should be all right.
Thanks, Doc. He seems like a fine hombre, so I'm glad to hear it.
Well, I hope that's the last of it tonight. You're not planning to shoot anyone else, are you, Mr. Bodine?
Hey, I didn't shoot Red Mike.
A moment later, the front door of the house burst open, and the liveryman, Ike Loomis, rushed in.
Somebody told me my boy got shot. Is he here?
Yes, he's here, Ike, and I think he's gonna be all right. Now, so can you tone down that bellowing, if you please?
Oh, thank the Lord. When I heard he was in the middle of that ruckus, I was afraid he was a goner. Can I see him?
Berger pointed at the door of the examining room.
Right in there, but you'll have to be quiet. I don't want him upset.
Loomis snatched his hat off his thatch of rusty gray hair and held it in front of him as he nodded humbly.
Sure thing, Doc.
You take good care of Red Mike. And if you need any money, you let me know.
The doctor frowned skeptically as he looked at Matt's rough range garb.
I know I look like a saddle tramp, but I'm good for the dinero. You got my word on that, Doc.
Very well. I doubt if it'll be necessary, though. Ike Loomis is a pretty successful businessman.
Maybe more successful than the medico knew, Matt mused as he thought about the hidden saloon in the old livery stable. He left the doctor's house and started along the street. Sometime during all the excitement, his hat had blown off and he didn't know where it was. He was looking for it when he spotted Sam walking away from the marshal's office. Matt angled across the street to intercept him.
Keep an eye out for my Stetson. Reckon I lost it somewhere during that ruckus.
We can look for it later. Right now, I'm on my way down to the creek to check on Bickford. If he's still there, he needs to be locked up along with Porter.
How come you didn't just tie him up so he couldn't run off?
I was a mite busy at the time, because all hell broke loose here in the town. But I figured with that bunch shooting, I ought to take a hand.
Well, it's a good thing you did, I guess. But Bickford's liable to be long gone.
I know.
I'll come with you, just in case he's still there and itching to start some more trouble.
That wasn't the case, though. Just as Sam had feared, Calvin Bickford was gone.
Might be able to trail Bickford when the sun comes up.
Maybe.
Sam went over to the first prison wagon.
Hey, Barnabas, you still in there?
Where the hell would I go? I'm locked up in here, remember?
And that's where you're going to stay for one more night. Tomorrow, we'll get everything straightened out.
You're gonna leave us in here? It ain't right. We ain't lawbreakers.
We'll see about that. And we'll make sure all the wounded men get the medical care they need, too. Did you happen to see which way Bickford went?
Can't see much anything from in here. What happened to Porter?
He's locked up in jail where he belongs.
Well, thank God for that. What about them deputies?
Most of them are dead.
Can't say as I'm sad to hear it. They might not have been quite as bad as Porter and Bickford, but they were a pretty low-down bunch, too.
We'll get you out of there first thing in the morning. In the meantime, try to get some rest.
Sure. Thanks, mister. If it wasn't for what you did, some of us wouldn't have made it much longer.
Somebody had to put a stop to what Porter and Bickford were doing.
Yeah, but it wasn't just somebody. It was you. That makes you a hero in my book.
Sam shook his head. He had never thought of himself as a hero, or Matt either, for that matter. They were just a couple of hombres who did what needed to be done and dealt with trouble as they came to it, which was all too often, Sam reflected. But for tonight, at least, it seemed to be over.